Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to have an open mic hour this morning. My guest, who is a physician that was scheduled for today, is not going to be able to make it. Now, we may get a surprise. He may call in at the last minute. However, we are opening the telephones. If you would like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight today, I'd be delighted to do it. That telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Well, I wanted to start off this morning with some thoughts. I was in on a telephone conference with Jack Canfield last night. Some of you may be aware of him. He and Mark Victor Hansen have written tremendous, tremendous amounts of books, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and Mark has his own publication, and I'm hoping to have him as a guest coming up this fall. But this spurred me to make some preparation for the show this morning. And when I was doing it, have you ever done anything where you just sort of open up a book and said, I want my inspiration for the day, or let me see what I need to be aware of today? Well, that's what I did this morning, because I thought, well, my guest isn't going to show. What would I like to bring forth to you today? And this is coming out of Napoleon Hill's publication, The Law of Success. Now, this was Napoleon Hill's brainstorm. It took him 20 years, over 20 years, to pull all of the information together. He did a tremendous amount of research, and I just have such a deep regard and respect for the man. And it has to do with the power to think. And so I wanted to share with you this morning right off the bat, because it's a great way to begin your day to recognize that you're the individual that has control over your mind. You are the individual that has a control over your responses to what's going on around you. And here is the comment, the power to think as you wish to think is the only power over which you have absolute control. Now stop and think about that for a minute. The power to think as you wish to think is the only power over which you have absolute control. You do not have control over the weather. I know a lot of people are working towards that, but they haven't quite gotten there yet. There's so much that can be done by other individuals, external circumstances, from nature, you have absolutely no control over. But what you do have control over is your response to situations. And often, and I'm going to just be talking from my own personal level of experience, often we have responses of fear. Have you ever had that happen? Your mind is always busy working. Someone makes a comment or decides to do something, and then your mind goes off 10 million miles an hour into all kinds of directions. Then suddenly your emotions are going wacko. You're getting mad, you're getting hurt, you're going through all kinds of stuff. And it's only when you take dominion over your thinking that you reduce that scattering of your emotions. And it's so easy. There are very few of us that are ever taught when we're young, that we don't have to respond in certain ways. Have you ever noticed that people that really are good leaders, they are individuals that typically will control their emotions, not to the point of just swallowing them and absorbing them so that they just build up into anger or frustration or whatever, but honestly being able to detach so they don't get stuck in the emotional stuff. And it's part of our learning, I think, to go through that process. Part of our learning to teach ourselves how to get unstuck. Now, we're all going to find that we have sticky moments of, again, I'll use the word stuff. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to hang on to it? Are we going to own it? Are we going to say, gee, this is my baggage? Is it, I mean, owner of possessiveness of what doesn't really work for us? And it is so easy, and our subconscious doesn't really care about what we do. It'll just follow right along. And some of us have issues that go way, 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 way back. I was talking with someone not too long ago who said that they had a situation of identity with their father that they figured they were never, ever going to be good enough to be able to have a situation with a relationship where they didn't feel like they were being demeaned. It's like they could never go beyond certain things. They had to stay single because they felt that they always attracted to themselves the type of person that would not want them to go beyond where they were capable of being in the moment and going further than that. We are all stuck in some way or another at one point or another in our lives. And so when you can reach that sense of awareness where you choose not to stay stuck. There was a program my husband was watching the other night, and it was about people that had experienced Hurricane Katrina. And as we all know, that was so extremely devastating. And he said when he was watching this particular interview on the television, they were talking about the many, many people who had responded to that absolutely devastating situation with a whole different set of attitudes. You would hear on the news about the devastation, all the sad things, and here were these people that said, yes, this is a tragedy, but we are going to make things work. What can we do? They got about the business of working with what they had available to them and making things happen in their own way, in their own manner. And he was sharing those stories with me, a few that he was able to listen to. And he said, wow, this is really important. This is so significant because they weren't waiting for the government to rescue them. They weren't waiting for anything. They were saying, come on, what can we do right here and now? Merchants, business people saying, I've got to clean out this mess. I can't wait for somebody to rescue me. It's not going to work. People that were in the medical profession that had patients to take care of, doing everything they possibly could, saying, this is what I've got to deal with. This is what I'm going to do. People coming together collectively through churches, through different environments, saying, we are going to do this. We're not going to wait for somebody else. We are going to take care of this. What's the best way to handle it? People got together, thinking things through. Well, many times we have to have challenges present themselves to us to find out really what makes us the individuals that we are, and to pull up and out of us sometimes that wonderful strength of character that we honestly and truly have, but maybe we've not given enough attention to that. It might mean learning how to communicate in a new way, in a new environment. Let me share with you this morning the poem where I took two sentences. And you'll recognize it if you're a regular listener to the show because I always close with these two sentences. This is a poem by Henley. And this is something that he wrote after he had his major wake-up experience, if you will. And he was in the depths of despair. And this is what his poem, this particular section, how it reads. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced or cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. See, a lot of it has to do with thinking. A lot of it has to do with where are you going to put your mind? Where are you going to put your attitudes? Well, let me share with you a story about a dog. Yes, we're going to go from that wisdom to the story about a dog. Now, this dog was on safari with his humans. And one afternoon, he started chasing after a butterfly near the camp and suddenly found himself deep within the wilderness around the camp. Now, he happened to see a leopard who was approaching him from the grass. Said the dog. I guess I'm going to have to show this cat who's boss. So he plopped down next to a pile of bones he found. And he reached for the largest bone and he began to chew on it. The leopard, hiding in the tall grass, was waiting for just the right moment to pounce on this canine, who he knew didn't have a clue about who he was or what he was doing there. Now, the dog continued chewing on the bone as the leopard slowly inched closer and closer. Now, the dog was hearing the movement of the grass. So out loud, he said, that was one tasty leopard. I think I'll eat another one. The leopard just froze in his tracks. He figured, whoops, I'm not a match for this vicious dog. And he quietly retreated. Now, there was a monkey seated in a nearby tree. He had seen everything and decided to tell the leopard what really happened, hoping to create an alliance between this enemy of his and himself. Now, the dog knew that something was amiss when he saw the monkey go down the tree chasing after the leopard. But the dog was very clever because he knew he had to stay calm and keep his wits about him to outsmart both the leopard and this mischievous monkey. When the monkey informed the leopard of what had happened, the leopard was furious. "No one makes a fool of me," the leopard growled. "Come, my little monkey friend, let's show that dog who's running things around here." So, the monkey is on the leopard's back, and the leopard runs quickly back through the tall grass. "Oops," said the dog to himself, "here comes trouble." But he relaxed, went back to the pile of bones, pulled out another big one and started chewing on him. He knew this leopard was absolutely furious and would come after him without any consideration, no mercy. He was out to kill him. He could feel this big cat watching him from the grass. From the corner of his eye, he could see the monkey getting off of the leopard's back and scampering up a tree. And this was his moment. This was the moment to make the move. And this is what the dog did. "What has that monkey done with my dinner?" he howled. "I sent him to fetch me another leopard a half hour ago, and he's still not back." Oh, I know, we may not always be as clever as the dog. But, well, the monkeys in life, they're always there, and so are the leopards. But sometimes we just have to pay attention, and that's the way the thoughts can be with us. Your thoughts can create havoc. They can create such chaos and confusion. And I'll share with you, one of the best things you can ever do for yourself is utilize an aspect of meditation, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. You can always take time to be silent, and you can quiet your mind and say, "I am master. What is it I'm concerned with?" And also a wonderful tool to use is a pad of paper and a pen. This is so important because when you're writing things down, if you write down your fears, if you look at them and you say, "This is what is really eating at me," and you put it down in black and white, then you'll realize it's only that one sentence. Well, maybe you fill up a page. It's okay. Go ahead and fill up the page. Write all this stuff out. Remember, though, that who you are at that moment, you are in control of. And if there are fears that are concerning you, I don't care what it is, remember, they are there for the purpose of teaching you how much you can accomplish by overcoming them. Not by getting stuck with them, but overcoming them. Napoleon Hill did a lot of research on fears, and he found that so often it locked people in to such a degree that they forgot their own power. So this morning I wanted to start off with those thoughts. I want you to recognize your own power. I want you to recognize that where you are at this moment is a moment of grace, and it is a moment of individuality that is going to carry you forward in wonderful ways if you take the initiative. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open to this morning. This is an open mic morning. Give me a buzz if you'd like to have me give you an intuitive reading on the air. 877-876-5227. Those telephone lines are open. I'd delight in talking with you. Don't you go away now. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back shortly. Hi, Donna Sebo here. And it's an hour of mind power. My guest did not show up today, but we do have open telephone lines, and I invite you to give me a call, 877-876-5227, no matter where you are in this wonderful country of ours. You're welcome to give me a call, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just let me tell you what comes into my mind's view, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything or everything that you like. Have you ever wondered about the power of a sneeze? Huh? Yes, there is power. I know all of us have had to sneeze at some time or another. And how many times does someone say to you, God bless you? Well, this is interesting history that I came across, because many people around the world are really excited when they hear someone sneeze. Now, there is a unique term for sneeze lovers, and I hope I'm going to be able to pronounce this correctly because it's a unique word. Sternophiliacs. Yes, a sternophiliacs, or sneeze lovers, are the Maori of New Zealand. So if you really want to be appreciated for those sneezes of yours, go to New Zealand. They will just love you for it. They believe that the creator god Tiki sneezed life into the first human being. The Zulus of southern Africa, who take the sneeze as a sign of a beneficent spirit, and also the ancient Hebrews, who identified sneezing with life because they recognized, and this was done by an observation, someone in 1954, Maria Leach is her name, the dead never sneeze. Yahoo, you sneeze, it means you're alive. Yes, okay. Now, some American Indian people said that a good sneeze clears the brain. Ah, don't you just love all of these different thoughts? But sternophilia is by no means universal. In many European cultures, sneezing traditionally has been associated with death. And it is to the sternophobic tradition that Americans generally belong. Yes. And we're very close to death when you sneeze, according, and this is all long ago established, it's widely believed, because sneezing can expel the soul and thus life from the body. So there is a logic to the superstition of saying God bless you, because we feel it's like a charm against the danger of the moment. And in European culture long ago, if you did not say these words, then it meant that the sneezer would end up in the next world. Isn't it interesting, the different cultures and the different attitudes we have about things? Something that's going to be positive in one environment is going to be considered very, very negative in another. It's fascinating. And I think that's what makes the world so interesting at large. So just like when I watched a fellow on television not too long ago eating live cockroaches, that did not particularly make my day. In fact, I closed my eyes and I really got squeamish. But there are cultures in this world that think that having cockroaches for dinner, well, maybe even breakfast or lunch or snacks, whatever is their preference, they think that's the greatest thing. It's better than sugar candy. Thanks, I'll take the sugar candy. But anyway, it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? It's a matter of where you come from and what your particular environment is that you have grown up through that creates positives or negatives. Fascinating stuff. History is always going to be something that's going to show us maybe a little bit about why we have certain beliefs, and then also a reason why we may choose to get rid of them. So it's fun when you find out where things come from and you see the connections. And speaking of connections, there was a wonderful series of programs that talked exactly about that subject, and it was related to a man, and his name is escaping me right at the moment, but he did research. He traveled all over the world to find out what was going on in the world at different points in time and how we have progressed with technology and just all kinds of wonderful advancements that we have been able to grow through and are continuing to grow with because we're standing on the shoulders of the people that have gone before us. And it's absolutely amazing when you consider it. It's so much fun to do it. So if ever you have a chance, go to the library. And again, if any of you listening know the name of the gentleman, his name is escaping me right at the moment. But the program was called Connections. We used to be mesmerized by it, finding out where things came from and why they evolved. Speaking of evolving, if you'd like to chat with me this morning, give me a call at 877-876-5227, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with intuitive insight. Today we hear a lot about the environment. We talk about ecology. We're very much more conscious of how our actions influence our environments that we live in. We've become aware of toxins. we're becoming more conscientious about being attentive to the environment we live in, because obviously if we poison our environment, we're going to poison ourselves. It's just very simple reasoning, isn't it? Well, Mother Nature has a way of dealing with things in a fascinating patterning. And there was some research done by a woman by the name of Josie, and she presented a question. And when I saw this information, it was a question I thought, I'm going to be very interested in finding out what she has done or what her research is involving. And this is her question. Can a deer kill a black bear with its bare teeth? What do you think? What would be the answer? What's the first picture that comes into your mind? A deer standing up against a big bear, nibbling away with its teeth? Well, let me share with you what she came up with. There is an island called Anticosti. It's about a 3,097 square mile expanse of forested terrain off of the coast of Quebec. The answer to the question is yes, a deer can kill a black bear with its bare teeth. Ah, you're going to say, now how did that happen? Well, deer haven't developed a taste for bear flesh. Instead, what they did, they devoured the food upon which the bears would feed to fatten up for winter. What was that food? Berries. When they were deprived of this vital food, the bears disappeared from this island. Now, in the 1850s, explorers described an abundance of these Anticosti bears, and they were total vegetarians. They lived on berries and wild fruits and currants and gooseberries, which were just growing all over the place. Now, there's an ecologist, Steve Cody, of Laval University in Quebec, and there were a number of his students. They decided they wanted to look for berry bushes on the island. However, they didn't find any of the five shrubs that had been mentioned in historical writings regarding the island. These shrubs that were once very, very common to the forest, they weren't there anymore. They just weren't there. Instead, what they found is a thriving population of 150,000 well-fed white-tailed deer. Now, how did they get to this island? And how did they oust the bears? Well, apparently the deer were brought into the island in 1896 by a landowner who aimed to make the island a hunter's paradise. What happened? The deer, doing exactly what they do naturally, started feeding on all the berries and plants in the area. And Steve Cody believes the bears died out because they could find no alternative food in autumn. Salmon, there's not very many of them in the region, and by the time autumn comes around, deer fawns have grown too large to catch. And so in the research, they said, to their knowledge, this is the first evidence of what appears to be the indirect elimination of an abundant large carnivore by an introduced herbivore. And bears, I think, in many ways, are omnivorous. They're like us. They can eat just about anything. I know up in Alaska, they have McNeil Island, where the bears, well, they'll congregate there by the hundreds to feast on the salmon that come through every year. But there is this crossover. They're omnivores. They will just eat anything that's available. If they come across a carcass, if they're hungry, they eat. They prefer the berries, though, and they just feed on whatever is around because they sleep during the winter. So here's a situation where because a creature was introduced to an area, five particular plants disappeared. And all the bears did, too, because they didn't have anything to feed on. Maybe they swam to another island, moved off, or maybe they just died from starvation. Who knows? But I think lots of times we are not aware of the wonderful relationships that exist in nature. And sometimes something so simple as a change in bringing in a new animal into an environment that has never had it before can make a difference. That happened in Hawaii on the big island of Oahu when they introduced the Well, the rat came in on its own. It came in on some ships. And then they brought in another critter to try to get to the rats. They never saw each other. Nope. One's a daytime critter and another's a nighttime critter. So they never, ever met. So this is something that I think we need to keep in mind. So often we think we know what's best to bring into a new environment, but maybe we don't have all the inside track on this. We don't realize the difference that it can make. This is Donna Sebo, and I do want to let you know about a wonderful event that's coming up, and I'm going to be participating in it. I'm going into my fifth year with them. It's the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and it's such a delight to be a part of this. If you enjoy jousting, equestrian events, sword fighting, dancing, gypsy dancing, Celtic music, oh, it's absolutely awesome. And everybody is in costume. When you pass through the front gates, you will find yourself in a world of time that has so much romance to it. Wonderful foods, and the vendors are just incredible. Now, if you're in the state of Washington, if you're outside of the state of Washington, and you'd love to make plans to be a part of this magnificent event, then I've got some information for you. First of all, their website is www.washingtonrenfair.com. That's Washington, RENFAIRE.com. They have an 800 number of 359-5948, or you can go through and email them if you like to Byron, B-R-Y-O-N-M, at WashingtonRenFair.com. And that's Washington, RENFAIRE.com. Now, the dates for this wonderful, wonderful event, well, the first three weekends in August, August 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th, it's at the Mentor Creek Ranch, and that is at 10215 SR302, Gig Harbor, Washington, and their zip code, if you needed to do it for MapQuest, is 98329. Again, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. It is absolutely awesome. They open at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're open until 6 in the evening, and I'm going to be there doing many readings for people and interacting. It's a great experience. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be back with more good things to share. Donna Sebo here. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I have some wonderful information for you that you may want to write down. But I want to also tell you, I'm going to follow through with the cherry crisp recipe. For those of you that have a sweet tooth and you're always trying to watch what you put in your mouth, you say, oh, if I eat too much, I'm going to put on too much weight. Well, how about something that's going to be light in calories? So have that pad of paper handy. And also, I will be giving some information out here. In fact, I'm going to start right away about how a new pap test can perhaps save your life or the life of a woman that may be in need of being aware of this. So we're going to be talking about that in just a minute. Now, I do want to let you know that tomorrow we are going to be talking with Coral Montana in Australia. We're going to be talking about her wonderful publication, Another Place, Another Time, and her experience with Crazy Horse. Yes, now we're going back in history with this, but this is a fascinating story from another part of the world. So this is something you're not going to want to miss. Tell your friends about it. Also, we're going to be talking about Lois Wilson on Friday. Lois Wilson was the wife of Bill Wilson, who is the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a fascinating story. What a great lady she was. And I just feel so privileged to be able to talk to Bill, who knew her personally. So we are going to be getting some wonderful insight into this woman who may have made such a difference in the lives of millions. And then next week, we've got a wonderful lineup. If you are having a challenge with organizing, do you ever look around your office and go, oh, I can't stand this mess anymore, or your house, or someplace, maybe your kids' rooms? Well, we're going to have Jamie Novak on with us on Monday, and she's going to give us some wonderful tips. Also, we're going to be talking with Mr. Laszlo. We're going to be talking about the chaos point. Now, this is a fascinating book that introduced aspects of thinking that maybe you have or have not explored. Then Mike and Nicole Sebastian will be with us next Wednesday. Trust Yourself. This is a marvelous book. Absolutely marvelous book on all about how you need to be aware of trusting yourself. And this is such a challenge for so many of us. Then Tax Power for the Self-Employed. James Parker is going to be my guest. And then we're going to be talking with Murray Oxman on how to deal with difficult people. Have you ever encountered some individuals in your life that maybe after 30 seconds you just wished they could disappear? here. You could evaporate them. Well, I know I have encountered a few in my life. So, Mary Oxman is going to give us some tips on how to deal with difficult people. This is Donna Sebo. This is the Hour of Mind Power. If you'd like to call in and chat with me and receive a free reading on the air, call 877-876-5227. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with some intuitive insight. Also, I've had somebody say, Donna, please give out your office number again, 800-872-8852. That's my office number. If you would be interested in consulting with me privately, that's all the number you have to call toll-free, 800-872-8852. Now, let's get on to this information about the PAP test. Now, this is a relatively new test that for women that maybe are not having it annually every year, you may want to do something that is going to allow you to be aware if you need to go into the doctor. Now, this is about Allison Cashier's story. She is a woman that was advised by her doctor's office to go in and to have regular PAP tests. Now, she didn't forget. She said, it was very important to me because my mom had battled breast cancer and my dad lost his life to lung cancer. So cancer, the propensity towards it, is very strong in her family. She has a young daughter that she's raising. And although the annual PAP was recommended, she would have one about every 6 months. Well, there was a new product that she noticed that had come into the doctor's office, and it was called a new kind of a PAP that had been recently approved by the FDA, and it's called ThinPrep, T-H-I-N-P-R-E-P, and instead of smearing cells onto a slide, the sample is submerged in fluid, making it more sensitive and more complete. Now, the information from the National Institute of Health said that although the traditional PAP tests have increased cervical cancer survival rates by 70%, they have up to a 40% false negative rate. And the reason I wanted to share this with you is that I've had personal experience with this. So when I came across this information, I found that it was very important to be able to share it. Now, Allison had talked to a physician, Mark Kaufman, who said, we've got to switch to this different type of testing. And he agreed. So they gave her, the next time she came up from her for her PAP test, they gave her the conventional PAP and also the ThinPrep. Now, she wasn't worried about this at all because her tests had come in just fine. She had absolutely nothing ever come up on the PAP test. The first test was normal. But the ThinPrep revealed moderate to severe cervical dysplasia, which is a very, very significant, if not dangerous, precancerous condition. She said, if I had just gone on having the regular PAPs, I would have developed cancer. But because this new test, ThinPrep, caught it in time, she only needed a LEAP procedure, that's L-E-E-P, where a wire loop is inserted into the cervix to laser away the atypical cells. Now, Allison, when she realized how valuable this test was, she said, wow, I've got to let people know about it because this has probably saved my life. Now, she's very healthy. She's got a wonderful family. She said, don't forget your ThinPrep. So here's some points for those of you who are out there, women that want to know what you need to pay attention to for your own health. And what I would say with this is don't be fearful. Take a positioning and an attitude of informing yourself and realize that you are going to do this for your own wellness. You want to be able to lead a very healthy, productive life. So the best time to take your test is at least 5 days after your menstrual period stops. And don't use tampons, birth control foams, jellies, or vaginal creams for 2 to 3 days before the test. This is very important because there's a chemical interaction. And if there is any douching done, avoid doing so for 2 to 3 days before the test. You want to allow the body's natural chemistry to be there working. And you just need to be able to, before the test only, abstain from sexual intercourse for a couple of days. And this will allow the testing to be accurate. It's so important. It makes a difference. And you'll go to your doctor and they'll tell you the same thing when it comes to doing the PAP. So these are things that are significant, but this ThinPrep can really make a difference. Also, there are some ways to prevent cervical cancer, and I think this applies just to basic overall wellness. You want to not smoke because smoking for so many people can be a negative. However, I do know that I've had people that I've known for years that smoking never bothered them, but sometimes there is a tendency in the body towards developing these patterns. So you need to pay attention to this. And remember, when you do smoke, it affects your breathing level. I've seen that with so many people. Even if they didn't develop a disease, they ended up having a problem with being able to get enough air. So that's very important to be aware of. And remember to exercise, take time to play, and try to keep your weight within moderation of what it's supposed to be, whatever that might be right for you, because we're all different. And remember to pay attention to what you're eating. Fresh foods are very, very important, especially your vegetables, your fruits. All of these things make a difference. And don't forget those supplements. Yes, you hear on this program promotions and advertising for glyconutrients. I encourage you to go to my website and to check out the page on it, because it really has made a difference in my life and in my husband's life. And our wellness has been enhanced so much by these glyconutrients, because they're dealing with adding into the diet what we're no longer getting in our fruits and vegetables. So I encourage you to go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the page, and the information will be repeated this hour. But go to the left side of the home page on the site, and again, that is DelphiInternational.com, and you'll see a button that says glyconutrients. Tap on that, and then you'll get the rest of the information. Okay, and again, it's open mic this morning, 877-876-5227. And I wanted to share with you, before we go on to our next break, something that some people are doing that I just think is absolutely fabulous. And this is from Goshen, Connecticut. It's a woman by the name of Barbara. And she is involved in a horticultural therapy program. She and a bunch of volunteers go to the Goshen, they are from the Goshen Garden Club, and they go to all kinds of places with their wonderful flowers. She goes to these nursing homes, and they have every flower imaginable, whatever the season is. And she said it has made such a difference with the people that they're interacting with, the fresh flowers, the color, the wonderful fragrances. They serve 6 area nursing homes in their community, and what they do, they collect cans, vases, and all kinds of containers, and they cover them, if necessary, with waterproof wallpaper and viola that transformed into vases. They use whatever they can get, and the residents choose the vase that they like, and they fill it then with the seasonal flowers and foliage from the gardens that they tend. And she said, when we can't pick flowers, we buy them with funds raised by other garden club projects. And the arrangements, she said, well, they bring a lot of color and vibrancy into the lives of the people that we bring them to. And sometimes we get special orders from people. They have certain flowers they really like, and she said, we try to put them together. And if we can't, we come up with the next best thing. And she's been told by so many people that are on staff at these various nursing homes how much it has meant to them when they come in, when the whole group comes in, and they interact with the patients that are in these nursing homes, bringing the flowers, and it just brightens everybody's day, including that of the staff. Don't think that one person can't make a difference. They do. But when you have a group of you, wow, the difference is incredible. Donna Sebo here. When we come back from break, I'll be sharing with you a recipe on Cherry Crisp. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Carol Montana in Australia and sharing her wonderfully insightful story. I'll give you a tip. It has to do with reincarnation. You're not going to want to miss it. So again, get that pad of paper and pen handy again. I know you wrote down the stuff about the pap smear. Well, we're going to talk about how to fix a Cherry Crisp that is low-cal and scrumptious. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Now, I want to remind you, I'm going to be appearing at the Washington Ren Fair here in the state of Washington. For those of you who are listening from the local area, it's the Renaissance Fantasy Fair, Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, that is put on every year. It is the most incredible event, and it runs for the first 3 weekends of August. August 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th, you will see knights jousting. You'll see the king and queen. than their court. You are going to find that there are opportunities to hear storytelling, medieval musical performances, magicians, puppet shows. Oh, my goodness. There's even the Knight Academy that will teach the art of sword fighting to anyone that would like to learn. No age limits on this. It's absolutely awesome. It's 3 weekends of family entertainment on 8 different stages, 8 hours a day, plus vendors from all over the country that bring in their specialty items relating to the Renaissance. And I'm going to have a particular canopy there, and I will be doing many consultations, and you'll see me in costume. Look for the booth that has the red lions on the bright yellow background. You can't miss it. Now, here's how you go to find out information about this. We have people come in from all over the country to this fair. It's fabulous. Go to www.washingtonrenfair.com. Washington Ren Fair, R-E-N-S-A-I-R-E. Be sure to put the E on the end of fair. Otherwise, you'll not get to the site. WashingtonRenFair.com. They also have an 800 number of 359-5948, and it is an absolutely wonderful event, and you can get discounted tickets, faster service at the gate when you come in. You can buy and print your ticket online at their website of Washington Ren Fair. Absolutely fabulous events, fabulous people. This is my 5th year being involved, and it is a delight and a joy. Also, I want to acknowledge the wonderful station, Eastside Radio, 1700 AM in Kent, Washington, who is carrying the broadcast every day, the Donna Sebo Show. I'm so glad to add them to our broadcasting family that works with BBSRadio.com here on the Internet. Okay, I promised you that we were going to have a recipe for a cherry crisp. Now, normally when you fix a cherry crisp, the average calories are between 400 and 500 per serving, and it's pretty high in fat. Well, this recipe, which is considered a lighten-up version, is only like about 170 calories a serving. What a whopping difference. It's so easy. Let me give you the information so that you can write it down. So easy. This serves about 8 people. Perfect for a barbecue or something during the summer, any time of the year. I mean, really, this is just so easy. What you're going to need is a teaspoon of grated orange zest, two cans, 20 ounces each, of no sugar added cherry pie filling, one cup of low-fat granola, a quarter of a cup of sliced almonds, 2 tablespoons of butter at room temperature, and then 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Now, this is how easy this recipe is. Not only is it low-cal, but it is low effort. You preheat your oven to 350-degree temperature in your oven. While that's heating up, stir your zest into your canned pie filling. Transfer it to a 7-cup baking dish. And then you want to stir together the granola, the almonds, the butter, the flour, and the cinnamon. You just sprinkle that over the top of the filling. Bake it until it's slightly browned and bubbly, 30 to 35 minutes. It's ready to go. And you can let it cool if you want, or you can have a nice party with some ice cream, vanilla ice cream, or frozen vanilla yogurt, if you like that, and then just put, when it's hot, right over the top. Wonderful, wonderful. So hot or cold, this is flavorful, delicious, and cherries are really nutritious for you. So that's just a real easy, easy recipe to do, and I thought it would be something that you might find helpful, especially when you have that sweet tooth, but you don't want to have, you know, a minute on the lips and 45 yards on the hips or something thereof. I think that's what people will think. So this is what we've got also today to share with you. I wanted to chat a little bit. I'm not going to have a lot of time to go into this, but I think I'll just give you a little bit of information. There is the understanding of chakras, the energy systems in the body. And I'm going to talk about a couple of them today because each one, if you decide to create energy or you want to deal with controlling the emotions, remember what I talked about at the first part of the hour. Remember, you are the one that has control over your thoughts more than anything else in life. Well, if you're feeling afraid, depressed, or maybe your self-esteem isn't really where it should be, It may be a reflection of how you need to take some time and do a little bit of meditation. And I'm going to just, you know, we have seven chakra centers, as they're known in the body. And I'm going to start with a couple. And I'll share with these points of information with you in upcoming shows as well. If you're wanting to feel more secure in your life, well, why don't you target, when you're doing some meditation, the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. And there is a woman, Philomena Lily Daisy, who has some suggestions, and she said if you want to strengthen that energy at that spine, she said you can stomp your feet or march in place. And she said what they do, they improve the circulation in the lower half of the body, which helps to activate the chakra since it's located there. And also you can, in meditation, just focus on that area of the body and just see yourself being well-grounded, feeling stable and secure in all that you do. And the second one I want to mention, if you want to deal with your creativity and or become more passionate about things in your life, then what you want to target is the chakra that's at the lower back and hip. That's called the sacral chakra. And you just want to move the hip area. Rotating your hips and pelvis stimulates the chakra, allows creative thoughts to flow, and it also enables you to become relaxed, less inhibited, and more open. And if you focus on that and you use color, maybe the color yellow, you're going to find that there is an awareness of how to be more creative. Again, these are centers that you can just focus on. Well, I'm not going to have time to focus on any of the others, but I've gotten two for you, so we will give a couple perhaps out tomorrow and the next day, and then that way you'll be able to have that information handy if you like. Remember, always here at BBS Radio, we archive our shows, and if you've missed this one or any others and you say, gee, I want to listen to them, you can go in at your leisure to the archives and just listen for your listening pleasure. And just know that that information is going to always be there available for you. This is Donna Sebo. We have run out of time, and I want to thank you for being with me today. And don't forget our wonderful guest from Australia we're going to be talking with tomorrow. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're the boss. You're the boss of your mind. You're the boss of how you respond to life. Don't ever give that up or turn it over to someone else. Be in charge. Hey, you're the greatest, and I'm so glad that you share your time with me. I'm so delighted to be able to be here with you, and I look forward to doing the same tomorrow. Have a fabulous day. Enjoy your life. It's the one you're living right now. Make the best of it. Donna Sebo here. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.